Welcome to Transform Talks, the only podcast that cuts straight through the hype and noise on supply chain transformation. I'm Maria Villablanca, the CEO and co-founder of the Future Insights Network. Join me as I uncover the stories and delve deeper into the topics that really matter to you. The recent collapse of a bridge in Baltimore sent shockwaves through the global shipping network, exposing a critical vulnerability, a lack of comprehensive supply chain visibility. In this episode of Transform Talks, I'm joined by Mike DeAngelis, the head of Ocean at Four Kites, as we explore how end-to-end data can bridge these gaps. Mike is a proven industry leader and is now responsible for driving strategy and innovation around Four Kites' ocean solutions. He's here to break down how we can overcome data silos and gain complete control of our supply chains. Mike dives deep into the issue of data silos that plague many supply chains. He explains how visibility solutions can act as bridges, bringing in additional data sources to create a more complete picture. Listen to the full episode now for Mike's insightful breakdown on improving supply chain visibility and his timely advice on utilizing the latest technological solutions. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here on Transfer Talks.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to jump in and start talking to you about container visibility and resilience, right? So clearly the last few years have been extremely disruptive, and that is the new norm. It's not going away. How is the importance of container visibility for building a resilient supply chain?
Maria, logistics networks are in ocean shipping are often quite complex. They involve multiple carriers, multiple ports and terminals, multiple customs agencies, just for a single shipment to go end to end. It's this complexity that causes customers to find it difficult to accurately track their shipments from end to end, due to the fact that poor visibility can lead to, gaps in data silos, which then cause delays. They can cause you to have additional monetary fines and cause unhappy customers. So when you couple that with the number of parties involved, so not only are there a number of facilities and transportation modes involved, but you have multiple types of carriers involved. You can have 3PLs and freight forwarders involved. And, because of this, it's very difficult to tie all of the information together as a customer, because, of course, each one of those parties has a different system and has a different process. So, what you get as a result as a customer is, a blind spot or set of blind spots because of these data silos, because of these, various actors and various transportation modes. So what happens is a visibility solution helps deal with some of these gaps and silos by bringing in additional data sources, such as data from the ports and terminals, which gives you the bigger picture. It fills in the gaps to give you that complete end-to-end view. And I'm saying end-to-end view because I think it's more important to talk about a port-to-door or door-to-door shipment than it really is on a port-to-port shipment nowadays, because, of course, that is an important aspect of it, but it really doesn't give you the end-to-end picture. And if you're looking to understand when are my goods going to arrive, you need a more complete picture than just port-to-port. So what results from having data from end-to-end is you can really start to look like at things like predictive ETAs. So not when is my container or shipment going to reach the port of discharge, but also what activities are happening after that? And when can I plan for that to actually arrive at my facility so that either I can start to distribute it, I can put it on, in the warehouse, I can get it to store shelves, whatever the case may be. To recap that, it's necessary to have, this end-to-end visibility so that you can avoid delays, you can help reduce your costs and unnecessary charges, and you can keep your customers happy.
And so let's talk about how this has evolved over the last, say, 20 years, because we can have the short-term view of how it's evolved in the last 3 years because of all the disruptions and recent events. But equally, over the last 20 years, haven't we seen also a shift in consumer behavior and the kinds of things that customers are expecting? So blind spots really are no longer good business, having blind spots, correct? So maybe you can walk me through in the time we've got, sort of how this has evolved in the last 20 years, plus 3 years.
Certainly, Ken. I've been around for that long, so I have a lot of insights, but I'll keep it brief. So how it's evolved in, say, the last 20 years is the customer's experience was having to call their freight forwarder or call their carrier, or maybe even send an email 20 years ago. Websites were just starting to evolve in terms of providing information that the customer would be looking for in terms of the whereabouts of their container, at least, from that port-to-port view. And then anything beyond that, they'd be calling their freight forwarder 3PL if one was involved, or maybe even one of their overseas offices, or send an email and wait days to try to get some response back so that you can understand
I'm going to interrupt you there. I'm going to interrupt you there because it wasn't just emails. We're talking 20 years ago. They'd be sending faxes.
So faxes, we process the faxes because a lot of the documentation would come in via fax. But, having done this at a major steamship line, 20 plus years ago, mainly it was phone calls. I would say the average customer was calling, and then either if you couldn't give them a response directly then and there, you had to call them back. And it was highly inefficient. You'd forget to call them back. They'd call it the next day. So I think the customer experience was rather poor, but really that was the standard. I guess poor is relative compared to today. That was how you found out the whereabouts of your shipments. And it was highly reactive, right? You're not talking about proactive. Over the years, and I'll make this brief, it really got to the point where carriers were able to, and forwarders were able to web enable some of these customer service processes towards their customers saying, hey, track your container here on my website. But then the customer's experience being, I've got five carriers, maybe I have 10 carriers. Now I have to go and have 5 or 10 different logins and 5 or 10 different processes, and the carriers are calling these events different names, and they're structuring it in different way on their webpage. So really, I think from a customer experience standpoint, what you started to see are aggregators, are companies that either were carrier sponsored or not carrier sponsored who would come in and try to make a combined experience. But again, really, that was down to sort of the least common denominator. So, the carrier who provided the least amount of data was then setting sort of the baseline, right, of what they would show. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was just 6 or 8, standard events and really not a lot of information at all from ports and terminals, from rail. It really was continuing those blind spots that you were talking about, during the beginning of the question. So I think, we've gotten over that bit, and I think now we can probably progress into the more recent, activities.
Well, I think we'd need a whole podcast just to discuss the recent events, really, because it's been a complete onslaught of one disruption, one black swan event after another, that seems to be disrupting supply chain. I mean, those of you that listen to my podcast will know I've talked about this before, which is 20 years ago when someone asked me what I did and I'd say supply chain, people had no idea what in the world that was. Whereas now all you have to do is turn on the news and the term supply chain, logistics, transportation is just the forefront. I mean, look at the recent events in Baltimore. It seems as though every week there's something happening that has an impact on supply chain. So let's talk about the last 3 years and the impact or how that's evolved and affected container visibility.
Absolutely. You're spot on, Maria. I think what you see are, if you start maybe at the pandemic, so at the COVID-19 pandemic, it started to get real, as you're saying, for consumers and for companies, that what they would normally expect might be a disruption in one part of the world became global. Yes, it progressed, you know, over time, but it truly became global to the point where, you know, containers were stuck in ports where labor couldn't work. I was in Australia at the time. I was locked down in my house. Like the experiences that both companies and consumers had, you know, as an employee, I was working full time from home, but, you know, as a consumer, I couldn't even go to the store to buy goods that most likely weren't there or well supplied anyway. So really, I think that set the stage, as you said, for supply chain to become more of a household name, you know, or household term. So, and even the actors, even the carriers involved started to, you know, raise, I think, their, you know, profiles, because they're now essential parts of, can I get my groceries for next week? You know, are they operating, or, you know, are we just sourcing goods locally? Another way to put it would be, if you looked at how containers, normally the balance of containers works globally, it's, you know, empty container deficit in Asia, and, you know, a lot of empty containers, you know, in surplus in, say, North America. And what happens is, when on a good day, that's imbalanced. Now you've got containers stuck in ports, stuck at railheads, stuck in container yards, full. And when they're full, they're not available for another, you know, export somewhere else in the world where they may actually be able to still produce goods. If you look at the situation in the US, you had, you know, grain producers, you had dairies who actually had to dump product because they didn't have the ability to export it, you know, because of the massive imbalances, you know, in availability of empty containers. So I think that really put, you know, as we said, the profile of supply chain up much higher on both the consumers, you know, list, as well as boardrooms, you know, C-level executives who might have a supply chain manager buried somewhere in their company. Now, all of a sudden, that's their best friend. You know, when are we getting our goods? When can we start production again? I mean, these are really became very tangible problems in what was probably just a, you know, small part of the company on a good day. So I think that was one of the major differences we saw, which of course raised the profile for, you know, real-time transportation visibility providers. So of course, you know, that's what we started to see. It became also important, you know, during the Suez blockage. It became important, you know, with the Red Sea crisis, which is a little more recent, as well as the drought restrictions in the Panama Canal. So we can see that, you know, all of a sudden it went from, you know, probably so what's a supply chain to multiple disruptions on top of each other, compounding each other. You know, if we look at the, you know, Suez Canal, Panama Canal situations, that causes some alternatives to start to disappear, let alone impacts from, you know, delays and the like. So, and as you mentioned, much more recently, we've seen, you know, the crisis with the bridge in the Port of Baltimore, that, you know, definitely will serve to cause a disruption, not only for the ocean containers that would have normally come through, you know, that route in or out of those terminals, but also for all of the land-based transportation that now that whole network is disrupted, because those containers will get off at alternate ports and they will need to get back to where they would have gone if they had gone through that gateway, you know, at the Port of Baltimore. And as well as just, you know, the trucking restrictions regarding dangerous goods being able to go through, you know, the local tunnels and whatnot. I mean, it's highly disruptive, and of course becomes that much more important to understand, you know, where's my container, where is my trucker, has it been diverted, where has it been diverted? And this is of course what, you know, visibility transportation providers can provide customers, consumers, you know, ultimately, you know, when am I going to see my product on the store shelf? When am I going to see it at my distribution center or in my warehouse?
Because it's an understatement to mention that the knock-on effects of delays, the knock-on effects, not just for client retention, but some things, you know, for are quite urgent. You know, you look at, again, going back to the Baltimore example there, although that's quite big for automotive, it's also quite good for raw materials and minerals and so forth that are desperately needed in farming. And if you miss those seasons in farming, you could have an entire season wiped out, right? And that has an impact on our tables. So the knock-on effects for disruption are real. So let's set the scene and break down what you talked about here. Number one, we've got consumer behavior changing, which is we're becoming much more demanding, much more aware of the kinds of things that we need now. You know, we need to know the visibility that we need, etc. We've got crisis upon crisis upon crisis, whether it's geopolitical, whether it's economic. We've got disruptions left, right, and center. So clearly, the time has never been more desperately needed for, you know, for visibility solutions. And like you say, it's elevated. And then on top of that, not only that, but there's a huge spotlight shining on supply chain professionals. You know, like you said, it was buried within somewhere within the organization. Now they're sitting at the table or very much a direct line to the CEO saying, where's the stuff? Where's the stuff? So all of these things have created the perfect storm for supply chain and transportation leaders today. What kind of tech excites you? Because we've painted the picture of all the negative things, but what kind of tech, what kind of things excite you about the opportunities that all of this has created?
It's a great question, and I'm going to get a hard time from certain individuals by saying this, because of course it's sort of the new blockchain, but you know, AI. So generative AI, I think, is really where I think the most potential and the most excitement is currently. And you know, machine learning has been applied for some time now, but this is really starting to get to the point where, you know, it's providing another layer or another depth of you know, capability, where I think that's truly exciting to see how it's going to be applied. And I know most of us are out there, you know, trying to provide that already to our customers.
Yeah. And so, okay, let's talk about, so we've got a wealth of opportunities with tech and so forth. Now, I was going to ask you, and this is an interesting question, because I wanted you to define visibility, right? Because that's a term that's brandished about quite a lot. And depends on who you ask, you get different answers. So how would you define supply chain visibility?
I think if you go back to the intro, I think really we're talking about knowing where your goods are, you know, in the whole cycle, from the point where it's being manufactured all the way to the point where it's either getting on a store shelf, getting into a warehouse, getting to a distribution center, whatever the case may be. And I think that really it's being able to see those activities that I mentioned before are very siloed. You're talking about multiple ports, terminals, railheads, you know, container yards involved. So the number of locations and the amount of operations involved is vast. Then you've got a number of actors on top of that, right? You've got your suppliers, you've got your freight forwarders and 3PLs, you've got the ocean carrier, you've got, you know, the trucking companies and drayage companies. So I think being able to take all of that information, you know, bring in even additional data sources such as GPS, AIS on the ocean vessel side, and marrying all of that together really is what it's going to take to truly say that you have visibility to your product, you know, from end to end. I think that that's really where I believe we're going to see, you know, the spotlight even raised. And as you correctly said, it's been disruption after disruption after disruption. The expectation will be that customers expect from the companies that are supplying them products that they, you know, are not going to have stockouts, and they're not going to end up, you know, with supply chain disruptions, which means those companies have to get out of spreadsheets. They've got to stop even today making phone calls, you know, to their freight forwarder and really, you know, rely on partners and, you know, and providers out there who can give them that true end-to-end picture. Is it easy? No, it's highly complex. That's why, you know, we're, you know, out amongst other companies, you know, fighting the good fight of trying to bring all of this visibility together so that we can give the most complete picture possible.
Okay, well, that was going to be my next question, and I guess, you know, we don't have the time to get all the answers, but one of the key factors in visibility is really operationalizing it, because it's all well and good to say we want to achieve this end-to-end visibility. I've been hearing that conversation for 20 odd years. So how do you operationalize this? How do you start? You know, I mean, it's a daunting task, really, with, like you said, the complexity. So what are the key steps to operationalize visibility?
I think first and foremost, you really need to find, the right provider who can ensure that you're getting high quality data, because that's whether it's applying machine learning, whether it's viewing something in, an UI. I think one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle that I've seen in the last 25 years of doing this is trust. Right. If you can go all the way back to when people were making phone calls and then told to go to websites, right? It's do I trust that what I see on that website is truly the status of the container? And then now it's on me, I went and viewed it versus I call someone, they're responsible, they take that information and say, yes, this is the status of your container. And fast forward now to today where it's not just calling a freight forwarder, then calling the carrier, then calling the terminal, then calling the trucker. You really want that, to be tied together. And you really want, to be able to then on top of that, have automation, have the ability to send a arrival notice to your underlying customer, the ability to tell your customer's customer that the goods are going to be arriving in 2 weeks, whatever that, use case may be. If you don't trust the data, then you can't build on top of the data. You can't apply machine learning. You can't apply AI. You can't, have an automated workflow. I think that's really the big passion about this. It's the biggest, piece of the puzzle that you have to nail, and it hasn't been done, 100% across the board. In these 25 years, let alone any time before that. But there are a number of us out there who are really, trying every day to get as close to that as possible so that we or our customers, with whatever systems they're using, can truly get those benefits from automation, and which will increase their productivity, undoubtedly have happier customers as a result. So I really, believe that that is the correct way to describe it.
I love what you just said, trust, because there are so many different things that are happening at the same time. You need to be able to trust the data to then pass on that trust. It's two ways, right? You got to trust the provider that's going to help you with building the kind of visibility you need to have, and you've got to get that trust over to your clients and your suppliers so that way they trust as well. So trust is the word. Mike, we've reached the end of the podcast. I want to thank you for being on Transform Talks, and I look forward to hearing more about what you're doing.
Well, thank you for having me, Maria. It's been a great conversation.
Thanks for joining us today at Transform Talks. I hope you found this valuable. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe, comment, and share. I'll see you at the next one.